welcome to Milana's Wig Podcast. We're your hosts, Gia and Judy, and we're here to take you on your wig-wearing journey and answer any questions you may have along the way.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening in. I'm Gia from Milano. Today, I have beautiful Alicia Sasha Natalie there.
Hi. I'm so happy to be on here.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Natalie. We really appreciate you hanging out with us for 30 minutes.
Thank you. Super excited.
So today on the show, we kind of just wanted to ask Natalie some questions, some commonly asked questions that we get continuously on our chat and on our DMs on Instagram. And I wanted Natalie to answer it from her perspective as she has been dealing with hair loss since I believe she was a teenager. So, Natalie, is there anything that you frequently get asked that you would love to answer?
Yeah, of course. So, like, most asked questions?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of questions I get asked, like, the main one is topper versus wig, which is a huge debate for people.
So, what are some of the things that you feel would merit someone more accurate for a topper versus a wig?
Well, for me, I wear wigs. I start off as a topper. I guess it really just depends on if you're ready to commit for a wig. A lot of times people kind of get a topper as like training wheels before converting and wearing a wig full time. Just depends on your hair loss as well and what you're comfortable with. But I've been really loving wearing wigs. I don't have to worry about my natural hair. I don't have to color it, cut it. I don't have to blend it. Super easy, quick and easy, just to throw it on and go.
Amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about, like, what you think is the ideal wig for someone dealing with your situation, having hair loss? What is, like, some of the things that someone like that should look for? Like,
yeah. So I love just low-density wigs. I think when you're first starting to wear hair, it's easy to have low-density. It just doesn't seem like a huge dramatic change or doesn't really feel heavy. Also, you know, some people just want to look the exact same, have the same haircut and hair color, or you can have a little longer hair or get some highlights or play around with colors, just whatever you're comfortable with. When I first started wearing hair, I kind of got longer than my short, frizzy, curly hair I was used to. I kind of wanted to have the hair of my dreams that I always wanted, because why not? But I think just feeling confident, whatever makes you feel confident and beautiful, whether it's something very similar or if you want to go blonde, whatever your comfort level is. But low density, I think, is just really helpful, so it doesn't feel like overwhelming of hair, feeling lost to the hair.
Well, that's great advice. What are some questions you commonly get asked when people are debating about their cap size? Is there any tips or tricks that you would want to share?
Yeah, I know cap size is always a big question, and when buying hair online, it can be super nerve-wracking or scary. It's like you ever have those soft tape measures. I just like look online and do like the three basic measurements. But also to keep in mind too, some girls still have a lot longer hair or thicker, and sometimes you have to remember you're still putting that up in your cap. So even if you're a small or medium, if you got a lot of hair still or longer, you sometimes need a little extra room. Also for me, I just recently kind of buzzed my head, and all of a sudden my wigs were fitting just a hair bigger just because I didn't have that little pony to tuck into. But, you know, have your hair is also kind of contributes to your head size. But I think whatever feels comfortable, your wig should never be like super tight, should just feel like very light, nothing squeezing or putting pressure on your head.
Think about that. You should count for if your hair is long. Would you say that potentially go up the size and cap or have a
I would honestly, some girls have medium caps but they get a large because they still have a decent like ponytail or bun to tuck under to kind of give that room. I think sometimes girls don't you know, are losing hair, but their hair is still long, or they just haven't wanted to cut it shorter. So they definitely need a little room. But over time, if you do want to cut your hair shorter or buzz your head, you can always get your wig taken in, which is really good to know that you can do alterations as well.
People ask us, and I'm sure they ask you as well, like, what is the best way to care for your wig? Can you give us some
I think just having, being, like, gentle with your wig. I wear my wig almost every day, but I do not, like, swim in it. I know a lot of people ask, can I go in the ocean with it and stuff, so I try to not be super rough in the activities I do with my wig. And when it comes to washing and caring, I love to do like a hair mask almost every time I wash my wigs, which is about 3 to 4 times a week, just depends. And I love to have like some light oil after curling it, always using heat protector spray, because I just don't want my hair to have like heat damage, because it is human hair. So I do try to put products in it that will help protect it from heat and curling. So I definitely curl my wigs all the time. I love the curls, but I think also when traveling and stuff, it's good to have a little carry-on to just keep your hair safe from tangling and just keeping that structure and that cap protected.
And you're going into the styling with the curling, which I know you do really cute. Are there any tools that you recommend for our audience that are, you know, effective at wigs? I know that can just be, you know, a little bit too high of power. Is there like a specific setting or tool that you use?
Yeah, so I recently got for my birthday the Jack of All Curls by Amika. You don't have to get this one specifically, but what I really like about it is that it's a curling wand, and it has interchangeable barrels, so it has 5 different sizes. So it's kind of fun to do like small curls or big glamorous curls, soft beach waves. And you can control the temperature. So I try to do a little under 400. Sometimes I do 400. But as long as you're using heat protector spray, I curl my hair about every 4 days. So it will hold for a little. So I'm not putting heat every single day, but I try to not put it on the highest heat setting just to protect it.
Right. That's amazing. So you would say like 300, right?
Like 350, I would say, almost. A little higher than, but just under 400, yeah.
That's good to know. And do you use anything else in your wig, like or finishing spray?
Yeah, I like the I also just recently discovered this, but I like the Bumble and Bumble Light Hold Hairspray. I was always nervous to put hairspray in my wig, but I didn't want it to have, like, a sticky or just, like, heavy products in it. But it's just, after curling it, I just give it a light spray, and it just helps the curls hold. It doesn't change the texture at all. The hair is super soft. So I really love the Bumble and Bubble Does It All Light Hold Hairspray.
That's amazing. I have a couple more questions. I know that you also answer a lot of questions on your personal Instagram, and I believe you also do wig consultations.
Yeah.
So how do you help people determine what style and color is best for them?
For my hair consultations?
Yeah, like I'm sure you get asked a lot, like, what's the right color for me? Is there, you know, questions that you ask?
Yeah, so I always get asked, the first question is always, like, should I get a wig? Should I get a topper? Sometimes it's more obvious on which one they want. And then it goes into color, and it really just depends on the brand as well, what they're looking for. Always when it comes to color, you know, are you a blonde? Are you a brunette? I feel like blondes can be a little more trickier because it's like, are you ashy? Are you warm? Are you neutral? What are you going for? Also, if it's like a topper, you can add highlights. But I always recommend kind of knowing if you're more on the warm side or ashier. It really helps picking color. And then also if they want something maybe a little lighter than their normal, I always suggest maybe get a rooting. I think it looks really pretty and also natural, and it just looks like you got your hair done. But those are kind of the suggestions I go for. And then depending, sometimes even with your face, like if you're more petite or narrow face, sometimes I suggest like maybe some face framing would really make the hair look like it's yours and really help complement your face.
Well, that's great advice. I think the rooting can really help with, like, if you want to change your color. It's so amazing what a root can do.
Yeah, I love a root, especially for someone that's not maybe naturally blonde or really light brown. If you do the darker rooting, it just looks so good.
I totally agree. And what about styling? Like, do you also recommend, like, specific cuts to match their face? Or, like, how does that go?
Yeah, so like more petite or longer faces, sometimes I suggest maybe getting a lot of face framing in the front so the hair doesn't cover the face. But overall, I always just recommend maybe some layering, like layers. I think it really helps the hair have a lot of dimension and volume and kind of have that natural, more bouncy, flowy movement. Sometimes people are wanting something totally different and they go for bangs, which is super fun, especially for the fall. But I always recommend even sometimes they can thin out the front a little if they want to tuck the hair behind their ear. I think that's really helpful as well.
Yeah, I love that. What are some trends you've been seeing right now from the hair world that are translating to the wig world?
Yeah, so hairstyles and colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what's really fun to see the wig world start playing around with is having, like, lighter pieces in the front, which I kind of did with my wig as well. I've been seeing it with celebrities and more just kind of trending in the just hair world with the money piece and the light, baby lights in the front, which is so pretty, and it just brightens up your face. But I've been seeing it a lot more in the wig world and people hopping on that trend, and I just think it's so pretty. It's great if you have a brunette piece and you want some blonde in there or some color dimension. It brightens up the face. I think that's really pretty. I also see a lot of balayage. It's been around for a while, but I think it's a classic, and it's just so beautiful to get that color dimension. And another one, I would say just because it's fall, I love the red tones or warmer tones. Maybe some people are kind of having more of extended root, bringing it down to have a little more darker, warmer tones with their wigs, which is really gorgeous.
I do think that's really pretty. And I have been saying the money pieces a lot lately, and I think it's so nice. It's like such a soft, it's like effective, and it's like a soft touch that just brightens up your whole face. I totally love it.
Yeah, I love the detail, and it's just so fun that wigs are able to just follow the trends and what's relevant now, and you can still kind of follow everything and be in fashion, and, you know, and it's a wig and it's not your hair, and it's really fun that you can still be a part of that.
Absolutely, and I love that you said, I do feel like the resurgence of warmth and the color trends, which is amazing, because I think that for so long, you know, a lot of, like, hairstyle trends have been more on the ashy side, but I think that warmth can be so beautiful as well.
Yeah, and it just really depends. For me, I just recently figured out why sometimes blondes look really yellow on me, and they could be neutral, and they just tend to have more yellow tones, and it's because I'm very rosy, kind of red in the cheeks and stuff, so sometimes blondes look yellow, and I had no idea, so I'm still, like, figuring out what works for me, too, and there's just a lot that goes into colors, and it's, like, almost like makeup. Like, some people look better with cooler tones and warmer and pink, so it's just fun to play around with color and know what's best for you.
Absolutely. I know. That can be the hard part. It's, like, do I go warm or do I go ash? I totally agree.
Yeah.
So what
I was just saying, I'm more of a neutral. I'm not like a super ash or a super warm. I'll kind of go in between, but I'm always kind of in the middle.
Oh, yeah, same. I like to be in the middle, too. Like, I think a certain amount of warmth is nice, but then I also don't want it to be too brassy. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other questions that you feel you can get asked either on Milana's account or on your own account?
Yeah, so other questions, always get asked, like, specific activities. Like, one was, I went to Disneyland about a year ago, and so many people asked me, how does the wig grip work, wig, and does it stay on for the rides, and were you nervous when you went? Yeah, when you went on certain things, and I always do remind them, you know, Disneyland isn't like Six Flags. You're not going upside down the whole time, but yeah, I wore my wig grip at the time with my Divine wig, and it didn't move at all. Once you kind of start wearing your wig pretty often, doing different things, you kind of know your limits and what you can do, but I felt really comfortable, wasn't worried at all, and it was just nice that I could still go to Disneyland, do all the fun things, and, like, not worry about having a wig slip in front of everyone. But I get asked a lot on about the wig grip and its limits and, you know, with wind and rides, and it just stays.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I really think this is all about, it has to be, like you said, the right fit. Like, the wig has to fit secure and not, like, too tight. Mm-hmm. But it has to be secure enough so that the wig grip can really be effective. Because I do agree with you. The wig grip does work. Like, I've taken it swimming on windy days myself. So I totally know what you mean. But it's all about, like, the product works, but it just has to be adhered properly with the right fitting wig.
Yes, definitely. You would know after wearing it and stuff if you're like, okay, I feel confident. I've done these things and never had a problem. But when you find the right wig and the right wig grip, and it's just amazing that it could stay on and I can do normal activities.
Yeah. And I know I do see that you get asked a lot about the top grip. Like, what are some of your tips and tricks for using that with your wig?
Yeah. So I use the top grip once in a while, but my mom was using it a while back. And mm-hmm. she would wear it with her wig. She has a really small head, like almost an extra small. I have a small head as well. And it's really nice to wear the topper grip with the wig grip, the large one. It has that adjustable band in the back, which is really nice. I don't have that extra bulk. Sometimes with the wig grip, the band is really thick and it's overlaying a lot. So some with my really small head. So I like to use the topper grip with my wig. I don't have to worry about the extra bulk. It's super light. It's great for, like, hot weather as well if you don't want a lot of fabric under your wig. But it's super secure. Even though it's not, like, a full band, it still, like, just stays in place. I don't have to worry about slips as well with it. So I love that.
That's awesome. I know some people seem a little bit confused with how to tighten the band. Do you have any tips or tricks for that?
Yeah, so I was so confused when I started wearing the wig grip. People were like, how are you adjusting it? I pull on the ball, this metal ball on there, and they're like, it's not working out. And I'm just like, no, please don't. It's not that one. I thought they had a completely different top or something because I wasn't having that issue. So I just kind of, you can see on the clear band, you can kind of almost just kind of loosen it, pull it up, and see which strap or string that's attached to, and then you can just adjust it from there. I wouldn't pull on that little metal ball. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's super obvious once you look at it. You just kind of leave that part, and you just kind of pull on the other string, basically. You have two choices.
That's awesome. So any other questions that you feel like you commonly get asked?
I do get asked, and this is more recently, just because probably the wig that I have right now is kind of like for wigs that have highlights or baby lights and even like money pieces. Can you use purple shampoo on wigs that are originally brown but just have some lighter pieces or blonde pieces in it? And does the purple shampoo, like, affect the brown wig? And I just recently did toning on my wig just for the front pieces. And you can put purple shampoo on the brown. It doesn't affect it at all. I always like to tone my wigs almost every one every three washes or something. You don't have to do it every time, but it's really helpful to have a product like that.
And what are some of your favorite purple shampoos or wigs? Because I know that some people like Sonola, but I mean, Sonola for me, for my wigs, Bye Bye Blonde, it like within 2 minutes, it's like too ashy. I don't know if you have the same opinion.
The one that I use, which I'm trying to, is like called Milkshake Silver Shine Shampoo. And mm-hmm. I leave it in for about 10 minutes. Just depends. Like, I had really small pieces. Maybe if your wig's more, like blonde overall, maybe you can do 15 minutes. I always tell people to always do a little shorter on the time because you can always make it ashier, but you can't, like, reverse. Mm-hmm. So you can do 10 minutes, wash it out, let it dry, see how it looks, and then maybe the next wash you can do another 10. But I did that for the first time. I was worried about it being, like, super ashy, but I do like that one in particular because I don't feel like it's super like you put it on and all of a sudden it's super ashy.
Yeah, that's great. Did you say it's some milkshake?
Yeah, Milkshake Silver Shine Shampoo. And the bottle's purple. Yeah.
I'm going to definitely check that out.
Yeah.
What's your favorite conditioner for your wig? I know you mentioned that you leave a mask on every couple washes.
Yeah, so I like, for the conditioner, I like the Amika Velveteen Dream. It's great because it's super moisturizing. It helps with hair that can be frizzy or damaged or just dry. So it's like extra moisturizing, silky, but doesn't feel like super oily. Sometimes with conditioners, they're really oily and then it feels like even though it's dried, it still has product in it. So it's super light but moisturizing at the same time. I also use the Amika hair mask. I don't know if there's, like, several ones, but it's, like, this big orange tub. It lasts forever. I always kind of, like, get – I love their products. And what's really cool with wigs and stuff, you're only washing them once every 3 to 4 weeks. So the products last a really long time. So it's just nice to invest. And I really like the – yeah, the Velveteen Dream.
That's so cool. I just checked that. Love their what they stand for. Cruelty, vegan, that's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. I'll definitely put that in the show notes for your recommendation.
Yeah, and then also for people that, you know, you can use like any shampoo and conditioner. It's human hair. I just say since it is colored or if you had a color service on it to make sure that whatever you use is color safe or sulfate free.
That's really good advice. So amazing to me, like how many shampoos they're not sulfate free.
Yeah, there's a lot, but it seems like a lot of companies and like beauty and shampoos and all that are more vegan and cruelty free and just cleaner ingredients. So it's really nice to see everyone kind of moving in that direction.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what if you're for girls that are considering like this year, and they're meeting on the
Sorry, you cut out for a second. Can you repeat that question?
To close, what's your closing advice that may be considering alternative hair and haven't actually taken the plunge in buying a wig or topper?
Yeah, like what's stopping them or just kind of...
If you have any advice for, you know, taking the time to actually go forward with investing in alternative hair.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just kind of know when you're ready. Like, for me, I was, like, so, like, everyone's in their different journey. Every hair journey is unique, and everyone's at a different place. For me, I was, like, I've had hair loss since I was 10. I was in college. It was getting worse. I was, like, so over it. I've been having hair loss at the time for 10 years, and I was, like, okay. And I saw someone else on social media that had a topper that looked super confident, made it look super easy. I was like, I'm ready. I'm going to go for it. Full dive. And then there's other people that are more hesitant, and sometimes it's because they're not close to a wig store to try things on. It's a big purchase, a big investment. And I always say, you know, you can it is a journey. It is I think wig consultations can really help too. So you're not just feeling like you're making this big decision by yourself. You're kind of talking to someone to help guide through through it all, I think also a lot of wig companies have been doing wig consultations because of the pandemic going on, and everything's been virtual. So it's super easy to kind of make these appointments and talk to someone and really understand what you're dealing with, what kind of hair loss you have. They can see the color, and you can kind of explain like what you want and have this consultation so you don't feel like you're the only one making this big purchase online. Another suggestion is just kind of going to a local wig store. You don't have to purchase from there, but just like putting a piece on, just kind of getting a feel, maybe get a head measurement so you like for sure know what your size is. And then also just being a part of joining the hair community, surrounding yourself with women that share their hair journey, and just kind of seeing other amazing women just rock it and not let it affect them.
That's amazing. That's such good advice. And I do agree with you. Everyone's hair journey is different. So that's awesome advice, Natalie. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always such a pleasure, and you bring such a wealth of knowledge. We always appreciate it. I know our listeners love when you come on, and we definitely want to catch up with you again soon and kind of see where you are with your hair journey. I know that you recently just got a new Divine wig, so I think that obviously that's another episode, but I think we would definitely love to hear your perspective on the Divine and kind of just hear like your unbiased review on the product.
Yeah, I love my Divine. I've been wearing it every single day for work and just like normal family and events. Yeah, I can't wait to share more about that because I did get it a little different, a little custom. I had a Divine before, but I kind of tweaked it a little because after wearing wigs for a while, then you kind of know exactly what you love and what you want. So I would love to come on again.
Lovely. Well, we really thank you for your time, and stay tuned, guys, for the next one with Alopecia Fashionista. Bye, Natalie.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Bye.